Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders. I will be bridging some wisdom tonight with my Aunt Vicky. Hey, Aunt Vicky.
Hey.
And the other co-host, Michael Goker. Hey, Michael.
How do?
Michael, meet Aunt Vicky.
Hello, Mr. Michael. How you doing?
It's a pleasure meeting you. I'm doing fantastic.
Aunt Vicky lives in Indian Land. We've been talking a lot about our heritage, Vicky.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. Well, now, I don't live in Indian Land now. I live in Marvin, North Carolina.
Yeah. You're not too far from us.
It's a half mile away from Indian Land.
I've always wanted to ask you this before we get started on air. We are on air live at BBS Station 1. And It is... Let me timestamp this. It is Tuesday, September the 20th, 2011. And this is Bridging Wisdom. We're going to be bridging wisdom about heritage and just the good old South. Sam, Vicky, where did I get the name Catbird?
From your granddaddy Hill.
Did granddaddy name me that? I wondered where that came from. Because I get that on TNT News Trade all around.
And he called Teresa Dynamite. Uh-huh. Your cousin.
Yeah.
He tried to name each one different nicknames.
He named Johnny Hot Lips.
He named who?
No, that was Granddaddy Nordman that named my brother Johnny Hot Lips.
Yeah, Johnny from Daddy's side, John Heel, he named him Johnny Buzzards.
That's right. Okay. I always wondered where I got that catbird from. I knew it was from the hillside because the Nordman side called me Ikey because I was born during Ike Eisenhower.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, I've always called Catty Cathy.
Yes, you have.
And you'll be Catty Cathy till the day I die.
Yeah, I never shut up, do I?
Nope. And I think it runs in the family. We can't
help it. How much older are you than I? I'm 56, 1956.
I'm 60, so 51. We're only 5 years apart.
Yeah. Do you remember when Wayne and Dwayne tied you to the stake and burned you like an Indian?
No, tied me to the stake. Y'all created that story. I did get burned, though, and it was their fault.
Oh, well, they told me they burned you at the stake.
Well, that's Wayne and Dwayne. You know they're going to always say stuff like that. My twin brother. You want me to tell you the real story?
I do. Michael, do you?
I want to hear all the stories.
Michael's my lover. My lovely honey, my honey bunny. Not my lover because we haven't done any nana, but.
Sugarfoot.
He's my Sugarfoot.
Yep.
Well, that's great. And you're coming to see her soon, right?
Tomorrow?
How long are you going to be down in this Charlotte area?
3 weeks. Having a ball.
Awesome. That's great. That's a long time. We'll have to definitely get together. And
he called Uncle Tom last time we were here. He was here.
Yeah, this will be the third time.
That's great. Well, yeah. we're going to be here for a few days, and then... We're going back to Blowing Rock, North Carolina, where we have a house up there we go stay in some. And
I didn't know if you were going to be on abroad or what, because you do travel a lot over abroad.
Our next trip is to San Juan, and that's going to be sometime in January, February, and a cruise to all the different islands I've always wanted to go to, St. Kitts, St. John and St. Martin, Barbados.
Well, the last trip you went and got me a bunch of stones out here.
Yeah, Nova Scotia.
Yeah. And you got my stick, too, from the big old tree.
I still got stick. You. Yep, the stick that you made Mama.
From the big old tree.
From the fire.
See, she's been using Grandma's old remedies, her old remedies. Back in the day, using for bee stings to pulling out a boil and all the little old home remedies that she gave to us.
Yeah, I heard something the other day about mosquitoes. You know how they'll bite you if you don't have anything right on hand, you can use like a window cleaner with Windex or something that has ammonia in it, and it helps to stop the itch.
Wow. How old was Grandmama when you were born? You're the baby.
Oh, she was 40.
Yeah. Okay. Well, go on and tell Michael about Huey Louie.
Oh, my gosh. What a trip. That was so fun.
Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah, we went to a concert. Did you already tell him the story?
No, I haven't told anybody. I was playing the saxophone, the air saxophone, and you were playing the bass, I believe.
Yeah, we were having too much fun. We were at a concert. Huey Lewis in the News came to Charlotte, and they were one of our favorite groups, and it was me and Cassie and three other girls. I believe there was five of us, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Johnny and Kathy, my brother, were on the other side.
And then, but we got in there, and we were having too much fun, and we didn't want to sit in the seat. We wanted to stand up and dance. So we got up by the stage. We were still in the bleachers, but we got up in the stage, and this is the old Coliseum in Charlotte that they don't have concerts in anymore. But so we were having a good time, and all of us were acting like we were playing instruments and dancing around in the aisle there. Well, it caught the stage
Steve,
guy.
His brother Steve Lewis.
Brother Steve, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they came up to us after the concert, and we went to them. I can't remember, but we just yelled out, "Hey, we want to meet Huey Lewis."
And so, Huey Louie. You said Huey Louie.
I call him Huey Louie. That's right. I was like acting stupid. But anyway, they said, "Well, we'll take you backstage." So all of us got to go backstage, but Huey Lewis wasn't there, and some of his band members were there. But we went, "No, we want to meet Huey Louie. We want to meet him."
He had a real bad cold that day too.
Yeah, he was sick, and but you know, at the time we didn't know a whole lot about how sick he was, and we didn't care. Still wanted to meet him. So anyway, they ended up kept asking us, "Do you really want to meet him?" And we kept going, yeah. So they gave us the hotel he was staying in with his private band, his full band, and he was in a suite and named the room number, and then gave us the password because there was a bodyguard at the door. And we're like freaking out, not knowing what in the world we're going to do here. So we all got our cameras and started to go out.
I didn't have any film in mine.
And we left three of the girls in the back downstairs and told them that if me and Cassie didn't come back in a few minutes, then to call the police because we didn't know what was up. So anyway, we get in there and we meet Huey Lewis face to face, and
chicken noodle soup.
Chicken noodle soup. Yeah, he was sick. He had some kind of cold or something. So it was just a fun night to be able to be around stars. And I took pictures of them at the concert. They had a new album being made.
And we wouldn't let Johnny and Kathy in, my brother. We told them they couldn't come in.
Because we were five good-looking women. He's wanting women. He didn't want a man in there.
Yeah.
Remember,
his brother Steve was like the head guy in there. Remember that?
Yeah, he was his manager.
And I called Marty from his hotel room. He called us groupies and told us to stay out with the groupies.
he wasn't too happy, and neither was Tommy when he found out where I had been all night. We stayed over there till what, 3-4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
And
but at least I called home. I ET'd at home, but I was told to stay out, not to come home till I was good and ready to get all that groupie stuff off of me.
But
all we did was just stand around and watch him eat chicken noodle soup. It was no big deal.
I knew you were a groupie.
I wasn't. I was following Aunt Vicky.
I'm only teasing.
Yeah. Oh, honey, you were the leader on that deal. But we did good. You got in there, didn't we?
I knew it.
I think Mady was the leader, Vicky. I think Mady had the lead role in that one. Woo-hoo!
I see Cassie being the ringleader.
Michael calls me Tassie, Vicki. You know how they call me Tassie since I was little.
Okay, dokie. So now you're Chatty Cathy Tassie.
Tassie.
Man.
That's my Tassie.
That's my name.
Mm-hmm. Well, Vicki, give us a little bit of heritage about how did Indian Land come about? Because that's all big about, you know, with me.
Well, it's near the Catawba Indian Reservation, and that's close to Rock Hill, Fort Mill. And at one time, Indians did live in Indian Land. They found artifacts and, you know, the spear points and made out of rock. And so I guess back in the day when the pioneers or whatever, they landed and stayed there and thought, well, you know, we ought to name it after the Indians. So they named it Indian Land.
Yeah.
Land, South Carolina, and we're officially on the map now.
Grandmama told me to always search my roots. She told me a lot of stuff about my heritage, and you know, it was really interesting about, you know, what I've got it on tape. Have you ever heard those little mini cassette tapes of Grandmama telling about her heritage and stuff? It's really neat. But didn't you say the heels came from Ireland? Was that right?
No, actually. I can tell you exactly about the heel because I have the coat of arms. And it says on here that, whoops, I'm going to have my glasses. Anyway, it's a coat of arms, and then it has where our origin, the origin of your family name. Mm-hmm. And the heel name was Irish and Scottish.
Okay.
And it says this ancient name can be found in very early records, an entry for a Gerberdale Hill, H-I-L, is recorded in the Pike Rolls in Norfolk in 1191. Other listings found during our research include Rogerus, Filius, Hill, H-I-L-L-E, and the Curia Rolls from Devonshire in 1221, and Simon Hill, H-I-L-L-E, and the 100 Rolls of Worcestershire in 1273. So the surnames are introduced to Britain by the Normans. Huh. Maybe we weren't Scotch-Irish.
Well, I thought we were. Grandmama told me a lot about our heritage. She told me not to say. She said just keep it and learn it. What about the name Judson? Where did that come from?
I don't know. Oh, that was your great grandmother's name.
That's what I thought. This was what, you know, the thing that blows my mind is Aunt Vicki, she gets something in her mind, she's going to do it. Do you know that there was this old house, and they were going to tear it down, right down the road from where she lives now, and do you know she got two double tractor trailers and moved that sucker?
Wow.
I actually got a mover. I got a mover to move them. But
split in half, didn't you?
Huh?
You split the house in half, didn't you?
No, honey, I wouldn't let them touch that house. I said, I want to be able to take this big yellow house down the road. It's 54 feet wide and 56 feet long. It was almost a square. And all the movers, different movers, one mover said, well, we'll have to cut the house in half and take it down in two pieces. And I went, no, we're not.
It was a Victorian house, wasn't it?
Huh?
Was it that old Victorian house
It was.
Strawberry or whatever that place where we used to pick strawberries.
It's a it's actually a Sears and Roebuck kit house.
Oh wow!
Built in 1910, and we ended up when I was searching the house mover ABC Movers out of Rock Hill. He came over and he met up with me and he said, "Lady, you can't get this house down the road without cutting it in two." And I said, why not? He said, because it's too wide. The road's only 24 feet wide, and the house is 54 feet wide. So how do you think you're going to do that? I said, well, what's stopping me? He said, trees, lots and lots of trees. And I said, well, it's only a mile and a half down the road. What if I get the trees cut? He said, ma'am, you're not going to get all those trees cut. Nobody's going to let you cut their trees. And I said, well, if I can get the trees cut and get a clearance, he said, you need 58 feet wide spec. No, 56 feet. He only needed a foot on either side and to take the 54 feet of the house down the road. And I said, okay. So I went out, and I knocked on doors, and I checked with the county, you know, and all that. And I got it all worked out, and I took about $11,000 to get all the trees cut. And a lot of my hours of I had to put flags out on the highway to show my man when he came back, ABC Mover Ward come back. When he came back, I said, okay, I cleared it. And I showed him the flags, and he was flabbergasted. He just couldn't believe it. But anyway, so that's how we got it going. And he would take his guys, and they went in, and they picked it up and moved it. And it took 2.5 hours to go a mile and a half. We inched down the road like little worms. But then we moved a brick house, too, that was beside it, that zoomed the house. We got that house down in 10 minutes. Because it was only 25 feet long, wide. But now they're in place, and I rent them out to people, and they're real happy living in them.
That's in the family.
Huh?
It runs in the family.
It does.
I know somebody else that would have done what you did.
Who's that?
She's Irish and Indian.
You know, Vicky is like my side. She taught me most of what I know. She's my. Here comes trouble one, and here comes trouble two. We used to get on those horses and ride, didn't we, Vicky?
Boy, we did. That was the life, too, man. I miss riding, but I, you know, old Dwayne Hill, he keeps riding. Your uncle.
Yeah, I know. I was pulled to him today, wanting to call him. He's on my mind, on my heart.
Well, he's doing real well, you know. He's hanging in there, and he's working on his farm, and
I just want to go see them, you know. When Michael gets here, I want to go up to the old homestead.
You ought to.
Yeah, I'd love him to meet Wayne and Dwayne. Dad, you're one of nine kids. Let's get that out there. You're my dad's sister. My dad is the third oldest, Walton Hill. Y'all used to call him Walden. Oh, Walton. He's a good old dude, buddy. Hard good dude.
Now, he and Daddy were a lot of life. He wouldn't admit it.
Johnny's even worse than that. Johnny's got the blood.
Yep. It's definitely a family affair there. Those Hill men, I'll tell you what, driving nuts.
Yeah. Michael, I'm going to let Michael pick up and ask some questions here.
Okay.
Well, Aunt Vicky is your dad's sister then.
My Aunt Vicky, this the lady that's talking right now, Aunt Vicky is dad's little sister.
Is your dad's sister.
Uh-huh. He's the baby.
Okay. So far.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of the nine.
Uh-huh.
And she travels the world. Picks up stones for me all over the place.
I can feel it.
Yep. We still got to get together so I can give them to you because Tom's saying, get these rocks out of the house.
Michael, I called you a couple of months ago and Uncle Tom answered the phone.
Really?
And he goes, I'm in love with Tassie. He goes, Uncle Tom goes, okay.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now, where do you live? Michael, where do you live?
Upstate New York.
You're from upstate New York. Are you near the Berkshires?
By the capital, Albany.
Okay, we were up there We were up there last year. We went to, took on a 38-day tour, went up through the New England, all the New England states, staying on the East Coast with a waterfront, and went up to Nova Scotia, and then came back from Nova Scotia back over to St. John, and back into Maine, and came across Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and then came all the way down to Vermont to the Berkshires, and went over to the capital of New York. And we went in and out of New York. It was so funny how the lines are so close in Massachusetts, Vermont, and New York. You could cross over and then cross back in seconds.
Right. We're right on the border.
Yeah, are you up there now?
I'm 20 miles south of the capital.
Okay.
On
so
the
you're
Hudson
not far North. From Massachusetts?
No, I'm not. No, we're right on the border of that, too. Vermont, Massachusetts. I'm 2 hours north of Manhattan.
Okay.
It's called Columbia Green County, and it's in a valley on the Hudson River. It's a resort.
Beautiful, beautiful territory.
It is
gorgeous. It's very pretty up there.
It is gorgeous.
Now, do you have moose?
Excuse me?
Are there moose in your territory? Like moose, you know, the big moose.
Like Captain Kangaroo's friend,
animal,
Moose.
Animal.
Mr. Moose.
Animal moose.
Yeah, if you go a little further north, I would imagine you could get some moose.
Yeah. My thing was, that was a big deal for us, going up, you know, and being in all that territory. That was the whole, one of the big things we wanted to see was a live moose. Guess what? We didn't.
Really?
We didn't ever get to see one, but we heard people talk about them, and some people that lived up there, then they would say, oh, we've been living here all our life, and we've never seen a moose. So I'm not sure whether that's for real.
That's funny, Vicky.
I see things that look like moose.
Vicky, you know what? He wants me to cook. He said his birthday is the 25th, and I'm going to cook him round balls, Grandmama's round balls.
Mm. What's a ground ball?
The round balls. You know where she'd take the meat and put all that junk in it and put the flour around it and fry it?
Yeah.
I called them round balls. She called them steak balls, but I called them. And I was telling him about how she'd keep a big old bowl of flour and she'd just dunk the buttermilk in there and just make her biscuits right out of that bowl.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She was a phenomenal cook, man.
I tell you
And
what.
You know what I did? I followed her suit. You know how she used to love to can.
Yeah.
Canned beans, tomatoes. Well, I just put up 13 pints of green beans and I put up about 10 pints of tomatoes. So I'm following what my mama did, you know.
Do you remember when we blew up that pressure cooker? She left us in the kitchen. It blew up all the ceiling.
Oh, that was a mess.
Yeah, it was. Hey, you know, Michael, Vicky is real avid about getting prepared. She prepares for what's coming in the future. Vicky, why don't you tell us some of the things that you prepared to, in case the chaos happens?
Well, I would say that we all need to be looking up.
Right.
Because it can come in a twinkling of an eye. And
you know, my daddy always said, look up and out, not down and out, or you'd stumble and fall.
Number one. That's number one. You want to make sure that you're looking up at all times and looking for him. Then
for Jesus Christ.
You don't have to have the fear of what's going to come ahead here on this earth.
But you have planned a lot.
Well, I'm planning in the sense of, you know, I'm like at the grocery store, buy one, get one free. I'm buying up paper products, soap products, you know, your just having extra foods, things that you can buy in the grocery store that are counter that you can buy that doesn't have to be refrigerated, salmon. Things that are good through 2013, where you don't have to worry about them expiring on you in the next year. You need to have water, at least a gallon and a half of water per person per day. Now, we have a generator with a well, so we just flip a switch and our generator runs our house power, and we can actually have still hot water, our fridges, lights, and one heat pump running, and then we have gas logs in the fireplaces. And so with a couple hundred gallons, which would bite us for a while, but, you know, maybe it'd be in the summer that things get into a crunch. But my biggest concern right now is our political world and how corrupt it is and how we need to not depend on the government to take care of us, that each individual better be thinking about for their family to have things in place if something happens, and the sense of, for instance, if the computer systems go kaflooey, which they could, we're having solar flares by the sun that's being more and more spoke about. If you look up on NASA, you'll be able to read about the solar flares. And what they do is they send out, they zap the electronics up in the space. And back in February, not many people know it, but China completely lost all communication in February of this year. And it was because of a solar flare.
Wow.
So, it's a possibility that the solar is going to be more and more active. The sun's throwing out these bolts of power, you know, and it's zapping stuff. And when it zaps our communications, where it would shut down grocery stores because they couldn't run. Everything runs on computers now. The people will rush and empty the grocery stores in a matter of hours, like in Japan when the tsunami hit. Everybody goes to get whatever they can out of the stores.
Yep.
There'll be absolute chaos in the streets. The
it sounds like when we had Hugo hit.
They'd be sort of like a Hugo, exactly, yeah. Or a Katrina.
Yeah.
Okay. It could be that huge, because it would be possible the whole USA could black out. But right. Now that's not only the issue. The issue is the economy, and where we are in the political world is affecting our economy, and our economy is in dire straits. We are very close to, like, Greece and Italy. I mean, they're all the European countries are having major catastrophic finance problems. And we're in the verge right now. We owe more than we've got coming in. And we need to really, really pray about who we vote for this year in 2012. Make sure that they're lined up with God Almighty so that we can keep the umbrella over it, because God's our protector, and He's in God we trust, as, you know, everything that we've always portrayed has been God, has been the man we trusted. And right. We've got to get back into that realm of believing and trusting in Him and lining back up and following the Ten Commandments and, not take these babies' lives, the abortions. God's not happy with that. He's not happy with just the grossness and the murder and the craziness of insanity of evil coming about that people are allowing to happen. And it's like a will, you know. You have a self-will. God gave us a choice to make a decision when He had Adam and Eve. He gave us that choice. You know, Adam had the choice of not taking that apple, but he took the apple because Eve was going, here, taste this.
Yes, she did.
And she had gotten calls to us to know what death is. We would have had eternal life from day one if Adam had done right. But because he took the bite of the apple and the Adam and Eve concept, He created it where we have our own will. God gave us the will to do whatever. If It's our choice. We make our own choices. And that's where, like Tom, my husband, he's not really into this thing about what I'm talking about. But he told me today, now, you know, he's 75, and he said, I've never seen so much chaos in the world, so much up and down, yo-yo, and just the wars, the craziness in Libya and the countries that are had dictators, and now they're in Egypt, you know. And now we've got Palestine trying, is it Palestine that's next to Israel, right?
Well, that's where Aunt Rusty is.
Yep.
She's over there now?
I believe so. She does that prophecy. You know, she's a prophet. She's a spokesperson for Israel and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's my sister, Frieda Lily Rose.
And she wrote a wonderful book that I'm trying to think of the name. Do you remember
the Rapture? It's called On the Brink of the Rapture.
On the Brink of the Rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that book underlined.
It's based on Matthew's 24.
And you know, that really helped me to see what's going to happen here.
Mama mailed one to Michael.
What a graph.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was a fantastic book. And when you were speaking about the world events, Aunt Vicki, I was going to say it's all biblical. It was all prophesized. There is going to be chaos, and there will be negative against positive. You can count on that. And in those days, your enemy is your neighbor, because there's an old saying, water, food, and a way to protect it.
So, right, so you better be able to have your guns ready.
You got some guns, girlfriend.
Well, you got.
Y'all taught us how to shoot back in the day when we were little.
Because the government's not going to be able to protect us. They're incapable of
handling. Hey, you guys, we got to talk one at a time. I can't hear you. Go ahead, Michael.
I was just saying, I don't believe the government's equipped or able to handle a catastrophic event.
No, they can't. You saw what they did in Katrina. They can't. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying it's better if we each person, before things got crazy, it's better to be prepared and be real than to be caught off guard, especially people with children. They need to be able to know that they have enough food stored, or, you know, and you can store a lot of food that's prepackaged. In fact, it's a package that you buy in the grocery store. It's a full meal. It's sitting on the shelf, and the shelf is good for, you know, for a year and a half from now. So, you know, and more than likely, the things are going to start hitting us in 2012. And this is not just me talking. This is the news people. They're liberal. They're left-wingers. But, you know, they are telling you, you know, and you've got to look for those signs. Like right now where we're seeing the earthquakes more frequently, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the tsunamis, and God says in the Word that to look for the birth pains. When you see the birth pains and then you see them coming more frequently, it's like when you're pregnant and you're having a baby and you have a contraction, and it might be an hour before you have another one. But then all of a sudden when that baby's getting ready to come out, it's coming every minute? You're having crazy pain in your tummy, you know? And, so anyway, he uses that as an example to warn the people. When you see these birth pains getting closer and closer together, then you better be ready for him, because that's when he's going to come down in the clouds and zap all of us Christians right out of here, and we're going to meet him in the sky, in the clouds, in the twinkling of an eye. And what's awesome, now this is what my sister was telling me, Jean, she said that she was reading a book where a person said that when we go to heaven, it's a little book. It's about the little boy that had died and came back to life. But when you go to heaven, you're young again. You're not the old person as you are when you die, if you get to be old. But you're young.
Daddy came to me after he died. He was 30. He said that was the best he felt. He said that was the age in a dream. And he said that was the age he felt best. And that was also around the age that Jesus died. And he had on a blue shirt. And, you know, I was just talking to him. And that's when he told me to not look down and out, to look up and out. He talks to me in my dreams a lot. He's good wisdom.
Yeah, good. Because, but also the Lord's using that as a help to help you, you know, to stay focused.
Yeah. Well, Grandmama used to, turn us on Rocky Mountain all the time. We were raised real strong in the Word.
Oh, yeah. She'd get us up on Sunday morning and make us all go to church.
Yeah, and she'd turn on, if we weren't in church, she'd call us on Rocky Mountain, turn it on, eh? And how she used to whisper when she talked. That meant you were supposed to pay real good attention.
Yeah. Like she had a big secret.
Yeah.
Yep. And she loved John Hagee.
Gosh, didn't she, though?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I listen to him every Sunday.
Do you?
In fact, now, Tom would be sitting in the back of the house, and he'll go, "Cut that up. I want to hear it."
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. He's come a long way.
Wow.
Hey, Vicki, tell us about the different types of guns that are the best to probably get if you aren't, savvy like we are. You know, we shoot with the gunpowder back in the day. Remember that old musket Grand State had?
AK-47.
Yeah.
Wow.
We used to shoot. We used to bust our head off. Do you remember how he had that big old horny?
Chinese or Russian?
Hey, Vicki, why did we always have to sit in the barn and take all that corn off the cob?
It was for the chicken.
Okay.
We had
a real live farm. I worked it every summer with you guys.
Yeah, we had 160 acres, and Daddy—that's why Daddy had 9 kids, so we'd all have to work.
Yeah, and then all his grandkids. Every time the day school was out, I stayed there and went to Moorhead. I used to have to cut that daggum tobacco with his brother in Moorhead City in Beaufort.
Yeah, Newport.
It's just gummy, sticky stuff. And I used to have to churn the butter and milk the cows and get the eggs.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
She did. We used to play
the dog house and dog bins. He had coon dogs and you name it. It was a farm. And we worked
He had 51 foxhounds. And he would take those foxhounds and he'd name them after us, after our nickname. He named one after Kathy, named Vicky Fly, me. I forget what Wayne and Dwayne's dogs were.
One of them's name was Lemonhead, I know that.
Lemonhead?
Yeah, do you remember when we used to go to auctions to buy everything and we bartered a lot?
Yeah, and Daddy would come home with 6 horses and they'd be calm and cool that evening when we'd get on them and ride them and they would just be so laid back. And the next day we'd try to get on those horses, they'd buck and rile back. Because they
didn't. Yeah, Tony put me on that horse red.
He didn't know it. They thought they were all gentle horses for the kids, and they were wild as buck.
I remember wanting to ride, and I rode your silver pony. It was a white pony. That was my first ride I ever rode, and I was 2 years old.
Wow.
It was Aunt Vicky's silver pony.
That same pony, it wouldn't go one day, and I was up in the field, and I couldn't get it to go. Daddy says, "Here, I'll fix it." He took a 2x4 and tapped it on the butt, and that thing took off. And it ran me all the way to the barn, and then I went out head first right in the horse manure. that pony stopped dead still at the barn door, and I went, shoom!
God, we could ride.
Not fun. I was mad.
We did barrel racing and all that stuff.
Wow.
And then on the other side of the fence, I did fox hunt for a long time, Vicki. You know that daddy bought those Mecklenburg hounds. And I did that.
What?
Remember? I used to run the beagle and chase the fox. And...
Oh, yeah. He was a horseman, hunter.
Yeah, I used to do all that. I had it on both sides, barrel racing with you guys and jumping up on, you know, trick. What was that guy's name that had Nancy? That horse that breathed like this.
Snort. I called it Snorter.
Yeah.
Snorter. Nancy.
We used to do a lot of that guy that owned, that rode her in the horse shows, he taught me a lot of trick riding.
Yeah. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Kathy, when you going to get back out there and ride some more?
Shoot, girl. I'll ride when I get ready. I got to get this other hip replaced, and I'll be fine. I'll be the bionic woman. I can do some daggum riding, that's for sure. Whew.
Tassie's going to train me.
Well, you know, you do need your hips to be able to ride a horse, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I got a bad one. I still got to get fixed, and then I'll be fine. But that's all I know is back in the day, and, you know, us running and seeing who could run the fastest and get going faster and faster, and
okay.
The animals and the farm. And
are we on the radio?
Yes, we are. We are live.
Worldwide.
Well, how do I get on there and listen to it?
Well, I'll have to plug into it when you download a CD for you, or you can go to the archives. BBS Radio keeps archives of all shows.
Mm-hmm.
They hit 192 countries, and at a given time could have up to 18 million listeners because it just taps on to each person. And that's why this is some good old root stuff going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is good. We're teaching people tonight things that they may not have known before.
Yeah. Vicki, you ever shot a Suzuki?
No, honey. A bazooka.
Have you ever shot a machine gun?
No. I didn't shoot guns too much. I got out there and shot the shotgun, and we had a .22 that I used to shoot. And
do you remember when Uncle Ralph got that new pistol and he was showing Daddy how fast he could draw, and he shot Daddy in the daggum, right, missed his heart, and it came out his arm.
Yeah, shot him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a real fluky, crazy thing that happened.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with Daddy and Clifford.
Really?
Yeah. Clifford got shot in the arm near the heart.
Yeah, I was telling Michael about old Red in the barn and how Granddaddy could fix teeth.
No hunting.
Well, I tell you what, that's another thing. Everybody needs to get a gun permit. They need to actually get
that's what I was asking you. What's the best gun for you that you feel that women should, you know? To me, I always carried a .22.
I like a shotgun.
Well, a shotgun, one way you can't miss, that's for sure, but you better be close.
With a 100-round drum on it, automatic.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Combat grip.
But you need to have a concealed weapons permit, and you need to take the gun course so you know how to handle the gun and be able to go to a place where you can shoot and get good at it.
Right down the road from you, Ashley and Matthew and Colin and all them go and shoot their rounds down there.
I didn't know they're a member of the club.
Say that again.
They're a member of the club?
The Rotary Club? No.
No, the gun club.
No, I was saying Ashley and Colin, they usually go down to Johnny's farm and shoot. But Ashley just got a new one, and Matthew just got another one. And they're telling me to get one. I just keep saying no. I got that little Derringer, my great-grandfather's, that was on the Hickok side, but I think Marty might have it now. A little Derringer, he used to keep it down in the side of the pants.
Yeah, you really need to actually take the course and learn how to handle it, because and learn the rules and the laws of when you can fire it and protect yourself and your stuff. you know, you can't really shoot a person after they come in the house. If they do not have a weapon, you cannot shoot them legally in that world.
When did that change?
You can shoot them as they're coming in the window.
I didn't
but
know
not
that.
Once they get in the house, if they don't have a weapon, then you're not to shoot them.
Wow.
Unless they start to attack you, then you can shoot them.
You think it's going to come to that one day?
I think it's going to come to that. I don't know if it's being before. I think it's going to come probably the absolute worst case of the Armageddon come once the Christians are raptured out of here and zapped out to be with the Lord, then the havoc is going to portray all over the world. It's not going to be just in America. It's going to be everywhere. And that's going to be the 7 years of the tribulation where, you know, a third of the human race is wiped out, destroyed by fire. But Right now, I think in the next year, if the economy gets crazy like it's, you know, where the Obama and his czars have not helped us too much on the economy issues, and within the next, they're saying by July of next year that it's going to be absolute crazy. And if you go in some of the stores now, they actually have emergency kits that you can purchase that they have already put together for, first aid, you know, just a flashlight, the battery-operated crank radios and stuff like that so that you can at least be aware of what's going on. When everything gets zapped out, all there is going to be is maybe radio waves where you can
hear. What about the ham radio? Ham radios
it would be, you know, that was a big thing in the past, and I believe that a lot, there are still a lot of ham radio people, and that wouldn't be a bad idea to have that capability, you know, either in a car or in your home. I don't have it, but I used to have one in my van, and I loved talking to those big truckers and riding down the road. And
yeah, you went all the way to California in that van.
Yeah, it was fine. We had a good time. Me and my mama.
Yeah. You know, BBS is out of California. They're in Paradise.
Now, who is Seth?
Seth is the engineer of BBS Radio. Then Don and Doug are on the station. They're the founders. But they couldn't do it without Seth. Or Seth, he's the engineer.
Well, that's so cool. I think this is neat, and people, they can hear. They can only hear it through the computer
right now. Yeah, but they do feel that it will go, you know, terrestrial soon.
Mm-hmm.
It is the number one radio station out there. If you haven't heard it first on, you know, mainstream, you hear it right here on BBS Radio.
I agree.
Okay.
Well, anything and everything from economy to economics to, you know, space to whatever, it's here. Spiritual. And my show is every Tuesday evening at 5 o'clock Pacific time, which is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard, and it's called Bridging Wisdom. We're doing right now, bridging some wisdom with you. Michael and I, Michael, he likes to sit down and sit a spell. He doesn't want to, he's so busy, he doesn't, you know, have a time to definitely put a period against the time stamp here. But he's here most of the time with me. What, Michael?
I just want to know one thing. How recent is that photo you got up?
Which photo?
The one that's in the Skype here.
Me?
Glasses. Yeah, you got glasses.
Tonight? I did it tonight.
Really?
Yeah, that was tonight. I said, God, I got to get a picture up. So I took that just a minute ago, right before we went on air.
For what you've been through in the last week, it's gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
I've got on my old seventh grade choker.
I can't wait to feel your hair, baby. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Vicky, my hair's down past my waist.
My goodness, what are you doing? Saving it and you're going to cut it and give it to somebody that has cancer?
Yeah, you know that's my deal.
That's a good thing. I've got a, you know, Courtney, my son's friend, she's doing the same thing. She grows, her hair is beautiful, red auburn hair, real curly, and she'll grow it real long, and then she'll cut it and give it to the people.
I'm just trying to get it long enough to where I don't have to cut it at my neck, and it can cut it right at my shoulders or something, and it'll still be long enough. That's why I'm growing it, you know, past my waist. It's got to get down to my butt.
That's good.
So we got about 5 minutes left. Is there anything you want to put out there to the Universal World Wide Web about, you know, how to prepare, what to get ready for, some positive juices out there?
I would tell the people that are listening on this radio station that they need to look up John 3:16 in the Bible, John 3:16, and just know that Jesus Christ is with you at all times, no matter what you're going through right now, as far as your finances, your family relations. Line up with God Almighty, Jesus Christ, and you will be okay. God will take care of you and cover you with his blood and make sure that you are all right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Amen.
Michael, what would you like to say?
Well, I would like to get away from the computer. I think that's
there. You go.
Is that better?
Uh-huh.
And Vicky, it was a pleasure meeting you. I hope to meet you in person someday.
We will. You're going to be here 3 weeks. I'll probably be able to pit stop by there and say howdy.
We could chew on the word.
Yeah, dude. Aunt Vicky calls everybody dude, too, so she's Ashley calls everybody dude.
Good.
Yep.
Ashley and Aunt Vicky have the same birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And you know what else? I call Jesus the main man.
Yeah.
He's the boss.
I type it in big print. Oh, be sure, you guys, they've been trying to take in God We Trust off of our dollar, out of our Pledge of Allegiance. And, you know, write in God We Trust on all your envelopes that go out on the front and the back. Anytime you send an email, but in God We Trust, they just recently tried to get the post office to take down a sign that was in their post office here in the U.S. And we're telling them you cannot have that up there because it's discrimination against, you know, other religions. So everybody be sure and put in God We Trust on all your emails and all your letters and mail that you send out so we can make a statement that we Christians, 86% of the population in America are Christian, and that's the way the majority should be ruling and not the minority, correct?
Correct.
Absolutely. That's a very good idea.
Aunt Grandmama used to tell me to put a cross on all of my envelopes and stuff. She put a bird and a cross.
Yeah, but put In God We Trust on there, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Absolutely.
And with that, we're going to sign off. It's been a wonderful, wonderful. Do we sound alike, Michael?
What, baby?
Does Aunt Vicky and I sound alike?
It was I can't wait to meet her. It's fascinating because it seems like it's
all right. Looking forward to it.
We got the same type of voice and tones and pitches, don't we?
Yeah, and a little, you know.
She's a little deeper.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I love you, Aunt Vicky.
I love you.
I love you, Michael. Okay, love you, Michael.
Love you, Tassie.
Love you, world. And with that, we're off the air. Mwah.